Well, good morning, family. I can sense that there is the joy of the Lord in the building this morning. So good to have you here today and joining us in our worship to God. And if you'd like to follow along with the lesson this morning, there is an outline in the bulletin that you can reference right in the middle of the bulletin. We're going to be talking about the joy of the Lord, particularly the joy of salvation. So I want you to have your Bibles open this morning to the 51st Psalm, where the phrase, the joy of salvation, appears in our text. And we're going to consider how we ought to be the most joyous people on planet Earth, those of us who have salvation in Christ Jesus. Old preacher tells a story of a woman that was always cheerful and optimistic, always bright and happy about everything that would happen to her, even though she was on her deathbed. She was in her bed, bedridden, and she was her health was really bad, but she was just a very optimistic person. So she lived in a five-story building, a very run-down apartment complex in a very bad part of town, and a friend of hers came to visit her. The friend that came to visit her decided that she was going to bring another woman along with her to visit this woman who was very sick. And so the woman that she was bringing with her was a very, very wealthy woman. They got to the apartment complex, and when they entered the building, immediately the wealthy woman noticed how horrible the living conditions were in that apartment complex. She looked around, she could see dust balls, she could see cigarette butts on the floor, and she could see dirt and grime everywhere, and she thought, this is a really bad place, maybe we shouldn't be here, I mean, this actually could be dangerous. And so she looked at her friend and she said, what did you get me into? And her friend said, don't worry, it gets better higher up. Well, they looked at the elevator, which was broken and run down, and decided they were going to have to use the stairs. They used the stairs, and sure enough, when they got to the second floor, they looked around at that point and noticed again that things seemed to even get worse. There was graffiti on the walls, there was grime and gunk, and there were, bad characters hanging out in that place on the second floor, and again, the friend turned to her, the wealthy lady, and she said, don't worry, it gets better higher up. When they got to the third floor, again, things even got worse. I mean, the stucco was falling off the walls. There were cockroaches running around through that place. And again, the lady said, don't worry, it gets better higher up. Well, they went to the fourth floor. Again, things were worse. They got to the fifth floor, the fifth and final floor. And when they got to the floor again, the wealthy lady noticed, this place is a sham. It is horrible living conditions. I don't see how anyone can live here. It was just horrible. So, again, they went into the room, and they finally got to see this lady who was sick. And the wealthy lady said to her, I can't see how you live in this place. I don't even understand why there is joy in your heart, why there's a smile on your face. I can't understand why it's so horrible, why you would put up with these kinds of living conditions. You're even at the point of death. And the lady looked at her and she said, it gets better higher up. She had the joy of the Lord, something that David certainly struggled with in his life at times, and something that he wanted to be restored to him in this 51st Psalm. David must have believed that there was joy in the Lord eventually. David, remember, had gone through some very traumatic experiences in life. David, remember, had committed the two cardinal sins, the worst sins that you could commit. That would be adultery and murder. Yes, that was with Bathsheba. And David did something horrible with her, committing adultery, and then to cover it up, he murdered her husband, had her husband murdered, basically, on the battlefield. David had really gotten to a point in his life where he no longer was experiencing the joy of the Lord. And as a result of his sin with Bathsheba, things even got worse because the baby that was born to that adulterous relationship, 8 days later, that baby died. David shed tears over that. David was distraught over that. David would continue to have problems, King David and his family, where you'll remember that in his family he had sibling rivalry. He had a daughter, Tamar, that was raped. And when she was raped, incest, by the way, by her brother, then Amnon was killed by his brother because of that. To avenge that, he was killed. And then later on, David had another son, Absalom, who tried to overtake David's throne and tried to bring up a rebellion against David. Yes, David had all kinds of problems in his family, and certainly he felt at a time in his life that the joy of the Lord had departed from him. This psalm, this 51st psalm here, is a psalm of confession. It is a psalm of David, a man, getting his life right with God. And we're going to focus on primarily one verse as we look at this 51st psalm. It's the last verse that was read earlier in our scripture reading, and hopefully it will stay on the screen as it's flashing in and around. If you don't read it on the screen, you can have your Bible open to the 51st Psalm and verse 12, where David says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." That's what some versions say. The King James says, "Uphold me with your generous spirit." But I want to focus on the first part of that verse there, where it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And what I'd like to do as we consider this verse this morning is look at three reasons why David prayed that prayer and made that request to God, where he was asking God to restore to him the joy of his salvation. The first thing that I want us to see here in this text is that David, as we think about this joy of the Lord that David writes about, David, first of all, had learned the joy of the Lord. Throughout the Bible, David writes about his joy that he experienced in the Lord. And David says here, "God, I want you to restore to me that joy." Restore, indicating that he had possessed it before, but he had lost it. And so, but because he had possessed it before, he had learned the joy of the Lord. The Greek word for joy in the New Testament is quite an interesting word. It's the word chara. That's the word joy. And do you know what the word in the New Testament, the Greek word for grace, is? The Greek word for grace is charis. So grace, charis, and joy, chara. And I find it interesting that those two words are very similar, because when you think about joy, real joy, not the entertainment and the fun that the world can provide for you, the happiness that's out there, but the joy within comes from our experience with the charis, the grace of God. When we have the charis, we can have the chara, the joy within. And David often talked about that joy that he had in the Lord. And David learned that joy through at least three means that I want to point out right now. First of all, David learned that joy through looking at and observing the works of God, God's works. So I need to turn my Bible now to the 51st Psalm. I was going to read it on the screen, but the screen's not cooperating with us. So in Psalm chapter 9 we're going to be in right now. In Psalm 9, I'll read verses 1 and 2, David talks about the works of God. Psalm chapter 9, in verse 1, David says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." David says, particularly in verse 1, "I will tell of your marvelous works." David could look at the works of God, look at the creation of God, look at what all that God had, the works that he had done in David's life, and says, "I'm joyful about that. I rejoice in the Lord because of God's works." Now turn with me to Psalm chapter 19, and we'll look at verses 7 and 8. So we see in Psalm 9 that David rejoiced over the works of God. But there was another reason David had joy. David had learned that joy. And this is in chapter 19, verses 7 and 8 of the Psalms. So in chapter 19 and verse 7, David writes, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Notice how David uses various parts of himself in this text. In verse 7, the converting the soul. And then in verse 8, rejoicing the heart. And in verse 8, enlightening the eyes. This is all the senses. And David is saying here that I have learned the joy of the Lord from God's testimonies, from God's law, from God's Word. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that the Word of God produces the joy of the Lord? Amen. That's why we're here this morning, to rejoice in the Word of God. Put joy in our heart, joy in our soul, joy of our salvation because of the written Word of God that gives us that joy. The works of God and the Word of God provide joy for us. Let's turn now to Psalm chapter 35, if you will. Psalm chapter 35 and verse 9. Here's another reason David would rejoice in the Lord. David had learned that joy not only through the works of God and the Word of God, but also through the salvation of God. David writes here in Psalm 35 and verse 9, he says, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in His salvation." Yes, we ought to be the most joyful people on this planet. We've been saved from our sins. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Our names are written in heaven. We have the hope of heaven. We know that one day we're going to spend eternity with God. Salvation is certainly something to be joyful about. So David learned the joy of the Lord. He knew God, knew His Word, followed His will, learned the joy of salvation. And if you're a Christian today, then you have learned, and you are learning today, the joy of salvation. You may need to pray like David, however, at points in your life where the devil gets a hold of you, gets a hold of your circumstances, gets a hold of your attention for a while, and there's a little lackluster there that's in that joy that you should have, and there is a pulling back that you will experience in your relationship with God, and you feel down about things, and you may need to pray like David did in this prayer, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." But if you're living for Jesus, let me tell you something. Jesus wants you to cheer up. Yes, He even said that several times. As you look at Jesus' ministry, He would use that phrase. I loved it when He said, "Be of good cheer." To the man who was lame and who couldn't walk, and Jesus would turn to him and say, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." Yes, I know that you can't walk, I can make you walk, but more important than that, I can forgive your sins. He says, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. Jesus also on another occasion said to His disciples, when they looked around, they saw this great storm, and they were overwhelmed with what could be, what damage could be done to their ship and how they could even lose their lives. And Jesus turned to them in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27 and He said, "Be of good cheer, it is Me, do not be afraid." Be of good cheer, have joy in your heart. And on another occasion with the apostles, when Jesus was with His disciples, and when He warned them about the troubles of this world and how they would have tribulation in this world in John chapter 16, and Jesus would say, "Yes, there's trouble in this world," He said, "but be of good cheer, I have overcome this world." Jesus would tell us, be of good cheer. Have joy in your heart. And even with the troubles that we have on the outside, there can be joy on the inside. Even when things look bad below, things get better higher up. We learn that from Jesus. And so David says, restore, because he had learned the joy of salvation to begin with. Let me ask you this morning, have you learned of the joy of your salvation? Have you learned what your Savior did for you? How He came to this earth, gave Himself for you, provided a plan of salvation, gave His life, died, shed His blood for your sins to wash those sins away. And if you come to Jesus, coming to Him for salvation, acknowledging that He is God's Son, and if you've done that and you'll repent of your sins and be baptized, your sins can be washed away. The Spirit can fill you and give you the joy of the Lord. You know, oftentimes in my own ministry, I can look back and think of those who, before being a Christian, they didn't have that joy. And then I would watch them and see them when they came to understand Jesus and understand salvation and embrace Christianity and become a child of God, how their lives had changed. I remember, in fact, my stepfather years ago, this would be in 1992, and he was just newly married to my mom, and at that point, he was actually a miserable guy. Let me just tell you that. I mean, I love him, but he was a miserable guy. He was outside of Christ. He was angry all the time, bitter, walked around with a scowl on his face. I mean, he just had no joy. And when he allowed me to share the gospel with him, and when he decided to put on Christ in baptism and become a child of God, a smile slowly came across his face, but more inside his soul, he experienced the joy of the Lord. And I watched a transformation. I watched him grow in the Lord, and I watched him embrace the joy of the Lord, become a happy and joyous person, and he became so pleasant and so content in his life because he had the joy of the Lord. The joy begins when Jesus comes into your life, when you decide to obey the gospel and become a child of God. David had the joy of the Lord, and David, what we see in this psalm is he had learned the joy of the Lord. The second thing I want to share with you about David is that joy was not only learned, but unfortunately at one point, that joy for David was lost. You know, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, since we're not able to rely on the screen this morning. You need to do this the old-fashioned way. You know those little Bibles that you got? Take them out. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to talk about David's joy of salvation, but look at it from a passage in the New Testament. Although it was the joy that David had lost, the Bible is clear that we can actually lose salvation itself. In Hebrews chapter 10, look with me here at verse 26. It says in verse 26, "If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries." So here we can continue willfully sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, which then provides salvation, and then we can get to a point where there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, the blood of Jesus will not cover those sins because we've walked away from that blood. We've walked away from its protection. We've not come back to Christ and admitted those sins, confessed those sins, and been cleansed of all unrighteousness, as the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. So yes, a person can walk away from or forfeit his own salvation, his or her own salvation. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6 just to again clarify this. In Hebrews chapter 6, there's a complicated passage here, but if we're taking the time to sort through it, we can see again that the Bible does teach indeed the possibility of apostasy, that is, leaving our salvation. Here in Hebrews chapter 6, notice with me, it's a long reading here, but just notice with me in chapter 6 at verse 4, the Hebrew writer says by the Holy Spirit, he says in verse 4, "Now it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the Word of God and the powers of this age to come." Let's just stop right there. Notice what he's doing. He is letting you know here in this text that these are people that got the full experience of salvation. They had tasted God's Word, verse 4. They had tasted the heavenly gift. They had become partakers of the Holy Spirit. That's a Christian, by the way, someone who has the Holy Spirit. They had, verse 5, tasted the good Word of God, the powers of the age to come. They had salvation. But he goes on to say in verse 6, he says, "If they fall away." Now that's a kind of a strange sentence structure right there. He says, "If they fall away." He just said all these good things about them. But now when we go back to this description of all these people, we actually need to go back up to verse 4 and catch the first phrase there in verse 4, which says, "It is impossible." Here's all these people. Something's impossible for these Christians. What's impossible? Go down to verse 6. It's impossible if they fall away. What's it impossible to do? Verse 6. To renew them again to repentance. Since why? Because they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. You see, that's what your continued unrepented of sin will do. It will put Jesus back on the cross, put Him back into an open shame, and you will crucify again the Son of God, and it can become impossible for some people to actually renew them again to repentance if they fall away, because they've treated the Son of God in a way that does not bring salvation anymore of their sins. And so it's really important that we understand, though some groups today, some religious groups today, teach a doctrine called once saved, always saved, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches in a number of passages throughout the New Testament. We just looked at two now, but there's others. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2 also tells us about that. And other passages in the Bible, 1 Timothy 4, 1, that talk about departing from the living God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 talks about us departing from the living God, becoming hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, that fact that we need to continue steadfast to the end to receive our salvation. Lots of passages. And so David realized, I'm sure, that it was possible that he could lose his salvation. But in David's case, the main point here, as we go back to Psalm 51, is that David had lost the joy. And losing the joy of your salvation, I want you to understand, that's a dangerous position to be in. Because when you lose the joy of your salvation, you're also in danger of losing your salvation. David knew that he was in danger. Notice, if you will, let's go back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, notice with me, beginning at verse 1, the scripture reading earlier. Psalm chapter 51, we'll start at verse 1. David, and this prayer says to God, Psalm 51 and verse 1, David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." What is David asking for in verse 1? He says, according to your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He says in verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Do you think this is a person that through sin has lost his joy and wants it back? That's indeed what David is saying here. He says, I've lost the joy of my salvation. I don't want to lose my salvation, so wash me of my sins. David says in verse 3, he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Have you ever felt that way? The devil will do that to you. He'll put your sins right in your face, drag you through the mud, make you feel guilt over it. David felt guilt, but this is a good guilt because David now is realizing he needs that joy back. And so in chapter 51, go with me now down to verse 7, David continues in his prayer in verse 7, and he says to God, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear, watch this, joy and gladness, so that the bones which, God, you have broken may rejoice. That's what David wants back. In verse 8 he says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Verse 9 he says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. He says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David had lost the joy of salvation. He knew that he was possibly a few steps away from losing salvation itself. And so he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. David knew when he says in verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. David knew that the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. We've got to come to God and get a new heart. And get a new heart to the point where we get God's Spirit, he says, renewed. He calls it a generous spirit. God's Spirit renewed within us. David knew that the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. So I ask you this morning, how is your heart doing today? How is your heart in respect to the joy of your salvation? Joy can still be there. Watch what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is talking about, remember, the parable of the sower. And Jesus says, as the sower went out, he sowed seed into four different fields. And in Matthew chapter 13, he talks about one of those fields. In Matthew 13 and verse 20, Jesus says, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, and he immediately receives it with what? Joy." He receives the word with joy. And Jesus says, "Yet he has no root in himself," in verse 21, "but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." You see, he receives it with joy. You know, some people today will receive the gospel with joy. They'll say, "I want in, I want to become a Christian, I want to be saved." And then they receive it immediately, but they don't choose to put down roots. Roots into the Word of God. You see, the soil is the Word. The roots is you putting roots into the Word of God. And if you don't put roots down, that immediate joy that provided salvation initially will be gone. And you'll be like that plant then, having no roots, that shoots up quickly and the sun bears down on it, withers it away. There's no growth. There's no long-lasting growth. And our joy and our salvation has departed. If you've lost the joy like David, all you need to do is repent. All you need to do is ask God for forgiveness, confess your sins to Him, and you can be restored as well. But let's go now to our third point this morning. So, because we're not really doing well with the projector here, you can go to your bulletin and look at the third point. And that is that not only David had learned the joy and lost the joy, but now in this psalm, David longed for that joy to return. And you know, here's the thing. David knew how to get that joy back. Notice with me, if you will, in this 51st psalm again, Psalm chapter 51. Look at verse 15. We didn't read this verse yet. Psalm 51. Notice in verse 15, David says he knows how to get the joy back. In Psalm 51 and verse 15, David said, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I'd give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifice of the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." David knew how to get that joy back. He knew that doing just a few peripheral, ritualistic actions, doing a few good things to make up for his sin, would not cover his sin, would not cleanse him from his sin. That wouldn't do it at all. That would not bring the joy back. And so, in fact, David says, "Listen, if that would do it, if all I had to do was just bring another animal sacrifice, or all I had to do was do some act in worship," he says, "I would have done that." He says in verse 16, "That would have been easy. I could have easily done that to bring the joy, but that's not what's going to bring the joy back." David says, the joy comes back when sorrow of sin enters your heart. He says, it is a broken and contrite heart. These are the sacrifices that God does not despise. These are the sacrifices that He's pleased with. You must acknowledge God. David says, I'll praise Him with my lips. You must acknowledge sin. That is the brokenness over sin. Verse 17. And in verse 18, you must acknowledge God's will. David said in verse 18, do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. There was need to do God's work. There was need to build the walls of Jerusalem. David wasn't going to do that to get his salvation back necessarily, but he was going to do that because he got his salvation back. David would return to the Lord, work for the Lord, and experience the joy of salvation. And then look at verse 19. Then when you do that, here's what David says in verse 19. Then God will accept your worship, David says in verse 19. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they shall offer bulls on your altar. Then you can come to the altar. Then you can worship God and have your joy returned. David longed to have his joy restored. And as we close this morning, have you had your joy returned to you if it's been gone? How's your joy this morning? What kind of joy do you have? Maybe this morning you have a smile on the outside, but you're not smiling on the inside. And the way to do that is through God's Spirit. God's Spirit within you will allow you to smile on the inside. David brings that out in this psalm right here. The Spirit of God dwelling in him. You see, it is a clean heart and a crisp spirit that brings joy to the life of God's people today. And we won't want anyone this morning leaving this building without having the joy of the Lord. If you are a Christian, you should be joyous. Too many Christians today, I've said this before, too many Christians today are walking around like they've been baptized in motor oil. And we ought to not be that way. We ought to have a smile on our face. We ought to be rejoicing in God and telling others how great it is to have salvation, the joy of salvation. Do you have the Spirit smiling inside of you today? If not, come to Jesus Christ. Accept His gift of salvation. Confess that He is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Be baptized so your sins are washed away and you'll have the joy of the Lord. And if you've already done that, but maybe you've walked away from the Lord and you're like David in this 51st Psalm saying, Lord, restore to me the joy of salvation. We want to help you with that as together we stand and sing.